Praise you, Lord God. Praise you. In the early days of the church, there were turning points. And let me go through a couple of them with you. There were turning points. And these were all excursions into that undiscovered place we're talking about. It's a place that the church had never been. The first that the early church went through is when Jesus died before he had risen again. In that short time, they were in a place that the church had, you know, that they had never been. They were the new church, and they were believers. They were followers of Jesus. They didn't even know they were a church, really. But they knew that they longed for their master, and he was gone. And even, you know, they couldn't hold, because they were still, you know, according to flesh, they couldn't hold the revelations that he had given them, that he had taught them. They couldn't hold them. And so they were very depressed and unsure. And what now? And they were in fear of what was going to happen to them. That's the first place where they stepped out, and there's no clear plan. You see, all the way up to that point, they stepped out. From the time they stepped out from the first time and trusted Jesus, they had a direction. Simply why? Why did they have a direction? Because the guy they were following had a direction. And then their following and their intimacy with him, they trusted him to lead them there. And they were like children because, you know, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know where this was going to end. It's like when one of them tried to take back their independence and think for themselves, because they were unsure of where it was going, because they had no faith in where it was going. That was Judas. He that puts his hand and pulls back to the plow and pulls back is not what? Fit for the kingdom of God. They didn't know where they were going, and they trusted Jesus. And this right here, I can tell you there's people like that that are right now in this room. You're not sure where you're going, but you're following the man with the plan, because you hear that God is in it and it speaks to you, but you really don't know where this is going to end up, do you? Well, that was the first time the church had been in that place, but an answer came, and a dramatic answer came with the resurrection of Jesus. And with Jesus came that, you know, that instruction. And with him, after that, after his ascension, came the Holy Ghost. There was a clear line of direction. But remember now, the next big point of change, besides the Holy Ghost, now that we've received Jesus and we believe in him, we need the Holy Ghost dwelling in us through faith. That's a change too, but the next big change, the next big thing, was the inclusion of the Gentiles. Right? Peter had to step out there on the ragged edge and just follow God in obedience to God, not knowing where that was going to end up. Right? And then boom, God brought Paul. after it became clear that it's God's will that this gospel, that what Jesus had told them was true, it should spread through the whole earth, and that the Gentiles are included. Now we have a clarity of direction, right? Even though we don't know exactly where to go, we should go everywhere. You know? Well, then there came up as a natural thing, nobody expected it. Now we've got to bump heads between what it is that they should do, the Jews do, and what it is they shouldn't. I mean, the Jews being naturally, many of the Jewish believers being naturally with the program, what would you think? Well, you know, you have to be a Jew first before you can be a Christian. Right? To be convicted of sin, you have to know Moses and the prophets. You have to know the law to be convicted of sin. So it's obvious you got to be a Jew first. So we'll take them everything of the law and Moses. We'll make them Jews. We'll make them Jews. Circumcision, the whole bit. We'll make them Jews. So that then Jesus can be added to this. You see the thinking? How many of you see that? That was the natural, that's man. But God had something different in mind. And so the next big thing where the church was unsure, where they had to meet and think about this, and you know, because we're in a place we've never been before. And that's what Acts 15 is. Let me just read you a little bit. So this isn't anything new, the deep water. Where do we go now? How does this work now? How do we solve this problem? Chapter 15, verse 1. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch, and we're teaching the brothers that unless you're circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas in sharp dispute with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some of the other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria and told how the Gentiles had been converted, this news made the brothers very glad. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they had reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and be required to obey the law of Moses." See? This, you know, all this falls apart if you don't have Judaism as a base. That's their thinking. Because Jesus himself was a Jew, right? Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said to the Gentiles, "You must be circumcised and be required to obey the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, see, they're out there flopping around in a different place. Peter got up and addressed them, "Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith." You know, they weren't circumcised, but yet the Holy Spirit received them. And everybody wondered why it was different there. Everybody's always wondered, why was it different there when Cornelius and those and his household were saved? Because Paul didn't go and baptize them first. Paul didn't tell them they needed to become Jews or anything like that. He listened to, they sent for him. They sent for him. This was new. And God gave him a vision to go with them. And God gave him a vision that translated into, you'll not call unclean what I've made clean. And Peter, seeing the fact they were made clean by God, who am I to question that? And God chose me out of my own lips to preach to them. And guess what happened when I was preaching to them? The Holy Spirit come down upon the men, and they started to speak in tongues, and they started to prophesy right there. And then I said, well, is there anything to keep these people from being baptized? It didn't go the normal route. God showed that he accepted them without any of the Jewish isms. So, because he showed that, why are we going to put this on them if he already accepts them according to their hearts by faith? Right? God who knowing the heart, this is verse 8, God who knows the heart showed them that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did us, and made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. He didn't purify their flesh, he purified their hearts. So why then do you try to test God by putting on their necks of the disciples a yoke that neither us nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved, just as they are. And the whole assembly became silent. Put an end to it right there. They became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul tell about the miraculous signs and wonders that God had done among the Gentiles through them. Further testimony that God accepts them as they are. And when they had finished, James spoke up. James, who is a Pharisee, by the way, and the leader of the church, right? Listen, brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God had first showed his concern by taking to the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this. He knows the Old Testament. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. In ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that remnant of men may seek the Lord. That the remnant of men may seek the Lord. And the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord. Who does these things? That have been known for ages. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city of the earliest times, and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. In other words, we are going to leave the law as the foundation to convict them of sin. But we're not going to put any of these ordinances on them to do. They're going to understand like we do that the life is in the blood. And it's about what it means. So, anyway, my point is this. See, they were out there in a place they'd never been, they never expected to be. They had no idea that this was coming up. I mean, there were those who knew that the Gentiles were going to be joined to in. But they didn't have any perception of what manner or how this was going to work. But you see, it was God himself who showed them, if they paid attention to the order and the way he did things. God himself accepted them without all that. God himself accepted them that he approved of them without all that. So why would we attempt to put that on them? You see, they followed God in that place. Because God had set aside Paul and Barnabas to do this work. God was prepared. He already had arrows in his quiver for that job. And so when they come together and considered what God had done, there's no reason for us to interfere in the direction God is taking us. Well, here we are again. We're at a place that we haven't been. And God has given us the cues. God has given us the cues. He's prepared the way. And all we got to do is trust and obedience to follow that way. He's given us the insight to see. God has raised up people for this time. God has prepared. He's got arrows in his quiver just for this. And we can trust in that. And out here in this undiscovered place, we're going to learn things that are going to complete the circle of the church. We are the generation through whom this destiny of 2,000 years has come upon. They have the ruby slippers and we are the tiara. And the outfit's complete for the bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And God has prepared every stone in that tiara. And God has set aside the combs that will be used. We have a direction. Even if you don't see it now, we have a direction. And we can trust God to bring us through this place we haven't been. Anyway, that's a good place to stop.